me a picture of this is what we need to do soon. And it's you catching your first fish. Remember, you were,
I know.
That was last year.
I know. Mike Triplett from ESPN here in about a minute. We'll chat with him about some of the stuff. Well, we'll just kind of recap what we were talking about. Saints rookie minicamp is today. Starts today. Next 3 days over the weekend.
Apparently it started today.
Stop it. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean anything.
I mean, the Falcons are tweeting things left and right. See the Bengals tweeting things.
By the way, Kyle Pitts had a good practice. They said so.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, they tweeted it out. They made sure to make it known. So apparently, Green Bay rookie camp is going dandy. Missed almost, you know, losing their starting quarterback.
Yep.
Everybody in the NFL's
Panthers out there having some rookie time as well.
Everyone's having fun.
What? Why are you so bitter?
Because everyone's checked out today.
No one's checked out.
Everyone's checked out. Everyone's checked
out. No one's checked out.
Everyone's checked out.
Mike Triplett hasn't checked out. You know? What do you want to ask him first?
How ridiculous is it that you want to throw deep every single play?
Why is it ridiculous?
Why is that ridiculous?
Why is that ridiculous?
Yeah, the team knows it's coming. I mean, probably not going to end well for your offense.
Well, you have four options, right? Four receiver set, maybe even your running back or tight end.
Well,
you have a bunch of options.
But what I heard was just throwing it right to the, throwing it deep no matter what. That's
right,
what
but you have different options.
What do you
Who
mean
are
different
they going
option?
To?
You're going deep. It's the same.
But you have four different people that can catch it.
I understand that.
No, you don't.
But you're still going deep.
So what? Cover it. Steph Curry steps on the court, shoot a three.
So you're going to let the opponent know, first play
Absolutely.
Of the game, going deep.
Okay. Put it in their mind. Mike Triplett, ESPN. I'm getting called out on this. You're a professional, so we value your opinion. I'm all about, like, it. First, you know what it started off, Mike? Peyton Turner. He arrives. He has a photo of him arriving to New Orleans yesterday. He's got the cowboy hat. He's got the boots. So then that made me come up with the nickname Peyton Buckshot Turner.
Young, right?
No, Peyton Buckshot Turner, right? That's what I'm going with. So that's his new nickname since he's a cowboy. And then I just said, you know what? Let's embrace that mentality. Sean Payton's had it in his DNA in the past back in the day. I mean, Saints offense put up 21 points in the first quarter. He was aggressive. I say every play, Mike, every first play of every game, go deep. Go deep.
He's done it a few times.
See?
That's an original idea. You know, and unfortunately, famously, a couple times in the playoffs in Drew Brees' later years when he tries to shut that deep ball narrative when it hadn't worked out. A couple of Ted Ginn shots come to mind. But I don't know. That doesn't feel radical to me as Jameis Winston, starting quarterback. The swing pass to Alvin Kamara on the first play would be the one that would catch everyone off guard, I think.
Well, but that's just it, right? I mean, you let everybody know that that's what you're trying to do, and then you can derive off it. There's a bunch of different options you can go off of that, you know? If you cover the deep ball, you see the safety already backpedaling because he thinks it's coming, the slant king can do a slant that Michael Thomas will get you 20 yards. You're on the first play. I'm just saying we can have some fun with that. Mike, I'm just pumped that 3 months from today, you
can't believe it.
You have football. It's the preseason opener. And look, we've joked about it in the past about we can't wait for the regular season. Not this year. I would say it's one of the most important preseasons in a while, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. I think the preseason games are actually really important for this team, this offense in particular. I mean, I would say we could be going into that second game without officially knowing who the starter is yet.
How do you think you're going to divvy that up when you look at it that way? You only have three, right? I mean, with four games, you could say each guy gets two games or, you know, that last game maybe can still be with or not. Or I don't know. How do you think Sean Payton will go with it?
I think it's interesting because I think you have to make the decision fairly early because I think if you're committing to Jameis or if you're committing to Taysom, the offenses are not the same, and I think if you want to give Taysom a real chance, you really got to design some things around him.
Good point.
I do think Taysom will get a real chance, but how do they do it? Do they say, oh, we're going with the offense we've always had. Let's see who fits it better. These are two very different guys. I think the best way to have success around each guy is to tailor the offense to some of their strengths and avoid their weaknesses. So I think you got to make that decision pretty early. Now, for all I know, they've already got their minds made up of how they want to go. And choice B is the backup option, the alternative just-in-case option. And my guess is they go into it with the, let's see if Jameis can step up and win this thing. I think that would be the best-case scenario. I've said that a few times. A, because I think he has a higher ceiling. He's 3 years younger. And B, because, you know, you can use Taysom Hill in all those other places on the offense like he did when Drew Brees was quarterback, so he'd still have some value. I think that's the best-case scenario, but I don't think they just hand it to Jameis. He has to definitely earn it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I also think that will go a long way in the locker room and in building the team. And then at the end of the day, Mike, you know that they vote to see who wears the C on their jersey. So, you know, I would assume whoever the quarterback will be voted captain there as well. So best way to earn it is to show it obviously out there. And but no OTAs, you got mini camp and training camp, and then preseason, you got to show it in the game. That said, our question of the day, Mike, I want your answer to this. Jordan, go ahead.
Yeah, rookie minicamp began today for your New Orleans Saints and the rest of the NFL. Which Saints rookie do you think will have the most impact this season? Gus thinks it's going to be Paulson Adebo. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I was anticipating what question you're going to ask me, and I thought you were going to say, which rookie are you most interested in seeing? Paulson Adebo would be my answer to that question because the position is so important.
Yep.
Now, we'll see. June 1st, they might bring in a veteran who's ready to start, and then he's not as important anymore. But, boy, it'd be great if Paulson Adebo started right away as a rookie because we know that even if Peyton Turner starts, he's in a rotation. Even if Werner starts, you know, he's the number two, maybe number three linebacker. But cornerback is the one that could be in every down position if he could step up and take it. But that, I'm going to go with the first round pick, because we know he's going to see the field. It might only be 50-60% of the snaps.
Right.
But he's going to see the field a lot, and he's going to be the most important. Now, Werner is interesting because there is a vacancy there where he could be a full-time starter. I mean, in the mold of, A.J. Klein and Alex Anzalone in years past where they played a lot of snaps without making a huge impact, but it's a very important position, and there's a vacancy there.
You're right, and that's the thing that's going to be interesting on that aspect, because if he is on the field, that is an impact, right? I mean, he has as many snaps. I didn't say Turner because of what you just said. I'm assuming Davenport's your starter. It's a rotational sort of thing. I mean, he'll get in there. Tano Passanau, is he behind Cam, or is he where Davenport is on the right side? Because that's another player too, you know?
Right. No, you're of course, and of course, Carl Brandon. There's a lot of depth there. Traditionally, I would say, and plus in the NASCAR package, we're going to see a lot of these guys moving inside, which you did a good job pronouncing it. I haven't learned that, but he's played inside. We've seen Marcus Davenport go inside on that package. It's something that Peyton Turner could potentially do. So I think we could see a lot of those guys inside, especially now that they don't have Sheldon Rankins on this team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ways to get all these guys on the field. But my guess is, Cam Jordan plays 85% of the snaps. Marcus Davenport plays 65% of the snaps. Turner plays, 50-55% of the snaps. That would jive with what we've seen.
I hear you. One of the other elements, too, when you look at where, I guess, these players are going to be or given opportunities, time, right? And when you look at time, the preseason is one other thing. And then I said when I was looking at the schedule, Mike, as we turn our attention a little bit to that, is I'm actually looking, Buffalo, Philly, that point on. And what I said yesterday was I think that's when I'll start seeing what the Saints team could sort of be. I almost said it's going to be like Tampa, I think, to an extent last year, where it just is going to take some time, the cohesiveness and, you know, the normal Dennis Allen, the defense didn't show up to week three thing. And, you know, it's a new quarterback with receivers. And I just, it's just going to take a little bit of time. So what's your overall thought when you look at that schedule and the more important, as Jordan can't wait to hear, the far too early win-loss prediction?
Yes.
Yeah, well, look, the schedule is not going to be their downfall this year in any way. I mean, we had to make a bold prediction when the schedule came out, and I kind of went, maybe my bold prediction should be that they start, 5-1 or something. You know, it doesn't look that harrowing early on. I mean, Green Bay's done, obviously, if they have a cornerback situation. And, I thought, this is the same thing. At one point, I thought, boy, maybe I'm going to say they could finish 5-1. Look at that, the end of that schedule is not that bad. And then I just realized, the schedule itself is not overwhelming. The harrowing thing that I saw on there that I pointed out in my write-up was the Tampa Bay games are unfortunate. It was really the only negative on the schedule that, you look for things right away. Are there cold weather games late in the year? Not really. Are there... three road trips in a row. No, that does never happen. Do they have to go on the road on a Thursday night? No, they get to be at home on a Thursday night twice. The worst thing on their schedule, though, is they're at Seattle on a Monday night. The worst possible place to be on a Monday night. You get home at like Tuesday at 10 a.m. from that Seattle trip, and that starts their week where they're hosting Tampa Bay. And then the second time they play at Tampa Bay, they're at New York the week before. So, maybe a tiny bit of jet lag there. So, you'd like to see the bye week before they play Tampa Bay or something like that. So I think the Tampa Bay matchups are the two that you obviously circled the red marker, and they're going to be a little road weary before both Tampa Bay games. So that I think is the most harrowing thing on the schedule. But other than that, there is nothing like, I don't know how they're going to get through September. I don't know how they're going to get through stretch B. There's no stretches like that overwhelm me.
Jordan, the eyebrows raised over there.
I'm hearing at least 11-6, like I said yesterday for Mike Triplett.
But I will say this. Even throughout the entire Drew Brees era, you go through the schedule and you're like, well, this one's not too bad. And then they go to Oakland or they go to Las Vegas in week two and they decide, we're not winning this game. I'm sorry. They go to Detroit week four and they say, we're going to try like hell to hand this game over to the Lions.
14-0.
And I think you're right about, I think last year's Buccaneers are a great example of, there's just going to be some days in September, October where this team it hasn't quite gelled yet. And it could be, I'm not looking at the schedule right now, but it could be the team with the worst, I know they get the Jets late in the season. I'm trying to think of another game that's supposed to look easy where they're just like, oh, man, what a clunker. Yep. They just lost to Detroit. That could happen with this team probably more than ever.
Look, the Saints offense last year with Drew Brees and everybody back in veterans and even a veteran in Sanders, they struggled sometimes early in the season to get first downs, get fluidity. They would go quarters without points and stuff. So, I just think it takes some time. Now, that said, it may open up a little bit more since I think maybe you can push the ball down the field this year. So, I'm just interested. I'm with you. Every time we have you on, we always say this. From the first practices we get to see and cover to the first few games, I think it's exciting from this standpoint. We just don't know what we're going to see and get. There's potential. But until we see it, we don't know. But it's kind of a cool thing to see.
I was just having this conversation, funny enough, about record predictions. And I did not have to make one this year. I would have gone with either 10-7 or 11-6. But I think their offense can be as good or better as their offense was last year when they went 12-4. I mean, Drew Brees did not have his best season by a long shot, and he missed four games where Taysom Hill was the starting quarterback.
Yep.
And there was like basically no Michael Thomas for more than half the season. I think they don't need incredible quarterback play to have the offense be just as good last year. I almost have more questions about the defense. I feel like they lost so many pieces on the defense, only one or two that you would say are irreplaceable pieces. And Trey Hendrickson, I don't think we all thought he was going to have another 13 sacks this year, but that's 13 sacks that they're going to have to replace, and a number two corner and two starting linebackers and two top D
defensive tackles. There's a lot of questions about the defense to me, almost more questions than I have about whether this offense can still be good.
Mike Triplett
whether
covers
the
Saints.
Can be as stellar as it's been, I guess.
I agree, and that's why I brought up to Jordan and a lot of other people that are confident because they will bring up, hey, the Saints won this many games without Drew Brees, with Teddy, with Taysom, and I said yes, because their defense sort of led the way in those games, and a lot of those players on that defense aren't on his team anymore. So, you know, we'll see.
What they do have, though, is they still have seven or eight players that are among the top 100 best players in the NFL. You know, very top heavy run.
That is a very good point from Mike Triplett. Enjoy the weekend, man. It's a beautiful, beautiful day outside.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you.
Mike Triplett, ESPN. Quick break. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. But I would walk 500 miles and I would
walk 500 more to be the man. Join us for our Ram Spotlight sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. You can get a great deal on a Ram today. Check out all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingale here for Men's Total Health. With the new year comes new resolutions. One of them needs to be visit Men's Total Health. Low T can produce physical and emotional changes. Get tested. I did. See where you stand. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, help with ED, even IV therapy. Visit Men's Total Health today, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call or go online at menstotalhealth.net and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game, and now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingale.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover alongside with Gus Cattingale on this beautiful Friday. Question of the day has to do with your rookies. Rookie minicamp began today in the NFL. Which Saints rookie do you think will have the most impact this New Orleans Saints season? At GCAT underscore 17, Gus Cattingale thinks Paulson Adebo will have the most impact for this New Orleans Saints team. You could comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003.
So the Pels take on Golden State tonight.
Why so doom and gloom?
No, I didn't mean it like that. I was just, they play tonight. The game essentially, Golden State may rest their starters today.
Correct.
Or at least Steph for Sunday when they play Memphis. It's for the tie-break situation, all that. Memphis is the Kings today. Right now, the Lakers are in seventh. So, I mean, I still think it's important. But you may or may not see. Was he questionable, right?
Yes, he's a game-time decision.
Okay. So, we were talking about it earlier, Jordan, in terms of where this Pels team is going to go next. We talked about it with Daniel. And I look, he even said it, right? To my rant yesterday for 30 minutes to open up the show, in which you have actually guys on this team that exhibit and produce elements that lacked most of the season. Effort, energy, basketball IQ, right? Hart, the Terminator, whatever. I came up with five. And guys like Najee Marshall, Billy Hernan Gomez, Diddy, in a whopping 10 minutes. I mean, show, you know, Wayne and Gabriel. I mean, these are guys that were, you literally had to look up.
Yeah, who?
Yeah. Like I text Todd, who's 32 that's knocking down threes, and where has he been? And I bring this up not to go back into that because it's Friday and it's beautiful and please. We're 36 yes. minutes away from the weekend. Free. So I am not going to go back down that path. But Jordan, you have brought up this team, especially after I made another point that I was right. Back earlier in the season. You remember earlier in the season?
What, the Phoenix Suns?
Well, aside from that, I made a comment about a certain team right after we played them and lost. And you're like, should have won that game. I'm like, they're better. Yeah. And you said, but are they? And your typical Jordan, you know, way, but really? But are they? And I'm like, okay, well, do they play better defense? And the answer was, yes.
The Knicks, yes, they do.
Are they better coached? In terms of the players kind of seem to know what they're doing.
Yes.
Yes.
Look at the record.
Do they have three-point shooting?
Yes.
Yes. Do they have a star player that's dominating? A go-to player?
Yes.
Do they execute in late games?
Yes.
So they're the better team. Since that conversation, which was the first time, it was the first loss, right? That was the infamous, hey, Bledsoe, hello, hello, over here, hello. You know, I don't know what he was doing at MSG. That was the game.
Make sure you foul.
That was the game.
Right.
Got it, coach. And back on the court. Oh, what am I doing again? That game. Well, the Knicks are 39-31. 8 games out of first place, right? Out of the one seed. They're the 6th seed right now. Right now they're battling Miami. Looks like that'll be the first round. But it's the first time they're in the playoffs for a long, long time. Tom Thibodeau was on ESPN a little bit ago. And I saw two things he talked about that I thought was interesting that maybe you want to hear. Because, Jordan, would you not say, because you said this during the break, which made me want to pull these bites.
Yeah.
What did you say about the Knicks?
Well, the Knicks, who did they have before this season? I mean.
Who do they have now?
Who they have now?
Yeah.
I mean, the Pelicans, you put all this trust in these guys. I mean, you get talked about almost.
I know RJ Barrett was a big
name, but
you're not telling me
and
he's.
The national media is saying, well, Lonzo Ball this. Brandon Ingram this.
Okay.
Zion Williamson.
I mean, Julius Randle's having a career of the career years. But to your point, I wouldn't say their team's chock full of stars.
No, not even close.
Right?
You couldn't name their full team.
Okay. Here's Tom Thibodeau on how he views coaching and the important aspect of it.
You know, when you're going to each job is different. So I think as a head coach, you have to be whatever you need to be for that team. And you learn you're not going to get everything right. You always want to try to do it better. So at the end of each season, you try to reflect back on the things that went well, the things that didn't go as well as you would like, and then try to, you know, get new ideas of how you can do it better.
I'll say this. The New York Knicks' highest salary that they're paying is Julius Randle at $18 million.
Mm-hmm.
The Pelicans, they have one guy in Steven Adams at $29 million, another guy in Lonzo Ball at $11 million. Mind you, you're going to have to deal with him this upcoming offseason. Eric Bledsoe, who hasn't done, you know, his last name, $16 million. You have Brandon Ingram just signed a massive deal too with $27 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have James Johnson contract with $16 million.
Mm-hmm.
And Zion, $10
million. Right.
That's going to go up in a few years.
Yeah, right, right.
But what I'm getting to is you're paying these guys, I understand it's a lot of their rookie contract. And
so it's interesting you hear Tibbs, though, say
right.
that each job is different. You have to learn what you did well, what you didn't do well. And you've heard me on this show when we get people, it's Stan, you know, and all this stuff. And we're going to do this again next week where we'll do like the postmortem and, you know, what worked in it. And I already kind of started that yesterday for 30 minutes in which, you know, I mean, David Griffin got an F this year. I mean, I don't know how else to really put it. At least a D. I mean, I'm going to give him some benefit because he did get some players that I'm about to talk about that I thought were good, right? So I guess it needs to be higher than that, but philosophically it failed. You had players on the roster. Daniel said it. Trajan Langdon said, well, because of COVID, we thought that maybe Didi needed to go develop over there. You don't think you could have used Didi this season? You don't think you could have used Billy Hernan Gomez before Jackson Hayes was so bad you had to literally play him because you had no one else? Like, where was the evaluation on that? Like, Kyra, again, David Griffin said, we drafted him to not play him this year. I can go on and I know, I know.
Because I'm starting to get really pissed off now.
Yeah, but my point is, okay, you also have to start to develop some sort of culture. You hire a coach that preaches principles that include effort, energy, basketball awareness, paying attention, playing hard, right? Like, that's what Stan Van Gundy is. When you hire that guy, you must surround him or give him players. Now, David Griffin said, I didn't give him his roster. I didn't give him a roster that it almost nullified Stan Van Gundy. So you hear what Tibbs says. Sometimes you go in with the best laid plans. Well, at some point during the season, SVG went, oh, bleep. I just don't have those guys. So it's been a battle. Now, mind you, he's been extremely complimentary of the team in the last 2 weeks. Jordan, guess who's playing?
The younger guys.
Tibbs on culture.
You know, everyone talks about culture. What is culture? To me, culture is everything. It's how you do everything. It's not what you say. It's what you actually do, how you practice, how you carry yourself, how you are in team meetings, how coachable what you are, what kind of teammate are you.
You and I have been told certain things, Jordan, and we can assume certain things as well, we can see certain things as well. There was a separation from one way, shape, or form with certain players that didn't either buy in, didn't accept it, or just weren't a part of the kind of culture that Stan Van Gundy wants to create. And to a point, David Griffin, you know? But you hear Tibbs, what he's saying there. They were a 4 seed here earlier this week. You want to talk about turnaround? To Jordan's point, one guy came in, but you have to have the right players that are going to listen. This is a guy that got ousted from some jobs because he was too hard on them. And he's practicing. Stan Van Gundy wants to practice. There's players on this team that don't buy into that old school philosophy.
I'm not using, oh, well, because of COVID, they didn't have enough time. I'm not buying that as an excuse.
Well, to your point that you said before, the Knicks have the same practice schedule as the Pelicans, don't they?
Yep.
Every team in the NBA has the same issues that the Pelicans do in terms of lack of practice. Marlon Favorite next on ESPN New Orleans.
Sorry to interrupt your jams, murder mystery podcasts, or motivational beach noises, but we got something else you might like to hear. It's called cash. That's the sound of an extra $250 after your first 10 deliveries with Uber Eats. That's right, an extra $250 on top of all the other cash you'll make during those first 10 deliveries. If that sounds good, visit t.uber.com/extra250. Uber Eats, deliver with us. Limited time offer, terms apply. See t.uber.com/extra250 for more details.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half? That feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you could pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on. So don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested. Because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Marlon Favreite joins us at Big Fave 504. It's the way to follow over on Twitter. Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Marlon, how are you?
All is well. Goose, happy Friday, brother. Low humidity in New Orleans.
Shoot,
man, you know I'm loving this one.
No doubt. Believe me, I opened up the show saying that it was going to test the professionalism. We wanted to walk out. We asked Buddy to go ahead and just throw it to network, but he didn't. Marlon, let's start with your Cowboys. Saints will take on the Cowboys Thursday after Thanksgiving. I know you'll be excited for that. I know Uptown Ruler is already. He's already claiming that, you know, they'll beat the Cowboys, this and that, and all of this. You open up, though, the whole thing. At Tampa Bay on Thursday night, 7:20 NBC against the defending champs, man. When you take a look at the Cowboys' schedule, what are some of the things that pop up to you?
Well, one of the things that pop up to me in their schedule is the fact that you have teams like the Vikings. You know, they're playing the Vikings this year in October with that receiving core. Looking forward to seeing how that young secondary does against those guys. They play the Chiefs in November. I think that's a game where, depending on where Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott is in the season, I'm pretty sure most of our listeners will know Patrick Mahomes will probably be beating them out. But it's a possibility that they could be talking who's going to be the MVP out of this game. It is a lot of hype, Gus, I must say, behind this Cowboys schedule. I saw Stephen A. and those guys early this week talking about that premier matchup against the to open up against the Patriots. Excuse me, they play against the Patriots in October. So it just looks like a very busy October for them. And I do think if they play their cards right in the NFC East, depending on what type of Washington team you have, say the Cowboys would be a favorite. Because I'm just saying.
you know, you got the Chiefs on there, right? You got the Chiefs, Saints. Look, I look at it like this. I look at the East, and I would say you and Washington likely are the two teams that are going to be contending for that. I mean, Dallas has the most talent. Ron Rivera's job that he did last year at Washington, man, was something else. I was impressed by Chase Young. You, like, being a defensive line guy, like, not only his performance on the field, but especially towards the end of the year and in the postseason, that dude was on the sidelines like a cheerleader, man. Like, he was infectious, wasn't he?
He was, man. He's a real team player. He's one of those players, you could see it on tape in college. He rallies the D-line up, get those guys ready. And you have a coach like Ron Rivera, someone who understands what it is being a player, a coach that favors your players and gives them a lot of free range to have that flexibility and personality. And that creates good chemistry and it helps win games. I remember they had Chase Young mic'd up and Taylor Hendricks, I'm butchering his name up. He added 15 seconds of fame, starting quarterback in the playoffs in the games before. And I just heard Chase Young saying, man, that's what I'm talking about. Straight out the XFL, baller like that. That type of stuff builds the confidence in your teammates. And not to mention, Gus, something that as a Cowboys fan, I am worried about with this Washington team is the defensive line and how they have all studs on the defensive line. You look at Sweat, Jonathan Allen from Alabama, Deron Payne from Alabama, and Chase Young. This team has nothing but upside on.
I bring that up because you go to CBSSports.com and there's a massive, gigantic picture of Chase Young. He's got the C on his jersey. And he's giving a little pep talk, looks like, to his guys. And it's Jason Lockenfora's 8 division winner predictions. Jordan, in the NFC East, Lockenfora, on a confidence level of 6.5 out of 10, has who winning the NFC East?
Well, you're not going to like this. It's the Washington football team.
But that's why I bring it up, though, right? I mean, look, Fitzmagic, if he's competent and it can do some things, that defense, you know that coach is going to get them to play well. And so that's why I think, man, I think it's Washington and Dallas.
It's Washington and Dallas. That's the two big teams. I mean, there's still a lot of out in Philly. They still have to get a few things in order in regards who's going to be who's going to be the starting quarterback. That's the bottom line.
I'm going to interrupt you just based on this. On the 2 to 3 things I've seen on their new head coach, I mean, I think the guy's so young and inexperienced. I mean, he was asking, is this where we practice? Like, it was just weird. Like, the video is introductory press conference, and, you know, it's like, that's going to be a learning curve, I think, Marlon, and how to do things. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater this week came out and said Matt Rule didn't do 2-minute drills, red zone work. They didn't practice it at all during the week. And that's why they struggle. And I think there's a learning curve of coaches to understand how to do those things. And just by my, you know, observations, this guy literally gets lost in the building. You know, like, it just seems a little big for him, that job.
It is a huge deal for Philadelphia's new head coach, Coach Nick. You literally just walked in the building. You're a young coach. You have a developing team. You have your number one, your wide receiver one, is the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith. How does he fit into your team? I thought you brought up an excellent point, Gus, bringing up Matt Rule, the struggles he went through last year. Teddy Bridgewater's been in the NFL for a while. I believe what Teddy Bridgewater said in regards to how Matt Rule prepares for a game. And it makes sense because this is how we did it in college. Even the great Nick Saban had to adjust to the NFL, the way those guys receive information and stuff like that. That matters in preparation. That's where I think Ron Rivera really knocks it out the park at. He gives players an opportunity to be themselves, but at the same time, he meets them where they're at. And that's how you get the best response out of your player on the team, especially on a team that don't have a lot of veteran leadership. So very interesting, very similar situation. Young players, young quarterbacks, having to run the show, and just younger coaches. I mean, look at your offensive coordinator. He's 29, 30 years old. So you get two different things that happen here, Gus. Every once in a while, you may get yourself a Sean McVay, a Matt LaFleur, but, you know, every once in a while, you may have an older coach that's adjusting to coaching in the NFL, like a Matt Rule.
Speak with Marlon Favorite. I had Big Fave 504 is a way to follow over on Twitter, Inside the Trenches of the Podcast. I think what's interesting when you see the schedules and everybody kind of sort of comes out. I said this to Jordan earlier. I kind of like the schedule after the draft, right? I mean, you get excited and everybody has renewed sense of hope and promise when the draft comes out because everybody drafted good players, except if you're Saints fans, you're not happy ever. So, but you do, right? You're excited and then boom, a week later it comes to, you know, the schedule, and then a week later after that, guess what? It's rookie minicamp, and then, you know, normally it would be OTAs if teams don't opt out, but and then there's minicamps, you get excited. But it is rookie minicamp now, and, you know, I guess just kind of take us to what that was like for you, Marlon, and how big is this, especially if you don't have veterans at OTAs being able to work with you. Is it at least even more of importance now for these guys to get this work in over 3 days?
It's important. Rookie minicamps are important, Gus, and it's an exciting time. I remember my rookie year like it was yesterday. You literally become adjusted to saying, wow, I'm an NFL player now. Like, I remember that first practice running out there, and I just kind of went into a slow jog, and before you know it, I was walking onto the field like, wow, I'm about to participate in my first NFL practice. So you get the dream come true jitters out of you in rookie minicamps. And I like the way that teams design rookie minicamps because it's a combination of all new guys, first-round draft picks, second-round draft picks, so on and so forth. Guys you come in with, I remember everybody that came in Carolina with me my rookie year. Everybody that was, I know the order they was drafted in, because we were buddies, we were friends. I know that we didn't have a first-round draft pick my rookie year, so Everett Brown was the second-round draft pick, so that was their first pick. So he was the guy that, you know, they marketed it. Hey, here's the guy we're bringing in, so on and so forth. I remember a guy like Captain Mudlin, who got drafted in the seventh round, who was first, second-round talent, stuck around with that team a long time, saw a couple of contracts, a lot of years, and you start to remember those moments. So rookie minicamp is important, and it gives those rookies time to adjust to the NFL, you know, obviously before the veterans come in and things go faster.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's going to be interesting to see as well is who on this Saints draft class kind of has a bigger impact or will likely have a big impact on the season. I feel like 2017, you're going to need these guys to see some action on the field. I'm not saying going to have the offensive and defensive rookie of the year or sack king Trey Hendrickson or anything like that, but I think these guys are going to see a lot of action. I went with Paulson Adebo, the cornerback, as to how I think, because Peyton Turner is going to be in a rotation over at defensive end. So I'm going there as to why I feel that way. And, you know, Werner might get a lot of snaps. I don't know, but I don't know if you saw it. Quad Alexander, 4.5, you know, months from the Achilles rupture. He's moving laterally and doing football drills, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting healthy. But, Gus, I'm with you, brother. I knew you were asking me the question, but you answered it for me. I'm going with Paulson Adebo too, because I looked to me, that was the position that I thought that the Saints were going to go with in the first round. So the fact that that was a high area of need and they went with Paulson, with even though they drafted him later on, I do think that if he goes in, here's a guy that literally goes in, busts his tail, learns the playbook fast, get over that curve, and if he looks up to speed, he'll start as a side corner, like literally. So I think he's someone, or get heavy rotation maybe in as a nickelback. I think he's someone that I'm keeping my eye on. They brought him in a third round, a 2 third-round pick. I think he's someone, I'm with you on that, Gus, he's someone that comes in and contributes a lot to that Saints defense.
As always, Big Fave, Marlon Favorite, Big Fave 504 on Twitter, Inside the Trenches, over on podcast.
I also saw that pass that you threw the other day, Marlon.
Oh,
very nice touchdown pass.
Very nice. Very nice.
Well, you know, I do what I can do when I can do it, man. Don't let Coach Payton know that, man.
The Tom Brady turnaround was
the
Tom Brady turnaround was the icing on the cake for me, though, in the video.
You like that, huh?
I know. Oh, Jordan, I forgot to tell you, man. Make sure you go to getgorillagear.com, man. Y'all get y'all gorilla shirts, bro. I forgot to tell you what's up, y'all.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you next week. Leo Haggerty, next on the Buccaneers on ESPN New Orleans.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the red hot deals.
Red hot deals
at Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Hey, New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey, New Orleans,
It's Carl Mayer of your NOLA Gold rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at NOLAGoldRugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
The football season is always exciting. Coaches getting hired, players getting traded, free agents moving to new cities. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ziprecruiter.com/max.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Leo Haggard, Sports Magazine. How are you, sir?
I am fine, Gus. How about you?
I was doing fine. I mean, I'm not doing fine anymore, but Jordan has, you know, Pete Werner highlights playing against Clemson, and it's fine. I mean, it's, you know, rookie minicamps this week, and I'm just saying, is it wrong that I'm more excited seeing Quan Alexander moving from side to side? I want him back. I want him healthy, and I want him back. That's the linebacker I want next to DeMario Davis.
Well, we found out down in Tampa he couldn't play the mic. So hopefully he could play the salmon or the will for you guys. The biggest problem he had is he couldn't cover dead people. And that was a real issue down here, and that's why they kind of soured him. They didn't try to move him outside, which I thought they may do that, but I guess when you have Levante David, you don't want to mess right with that either.
I don't know, Leo. He was pretty good for the Saints. I mean, it kind of made a difference for him before he, you know, popped the Achilles.
Gus, great against the run. Trust me. I just don't know if he's an every down linebacker, you know.
True.
Third and long, you may have to put your nickel guy in for him. But, you know, that's the way of the NFL right now anyway. You're going to go to, you know, nickel, diamond, quarter packages just to get a coverage people on.
So the schedule came out, and obviously everyone's excited, looking at games. They're looking at stretches, what's important, what's not. Everyone is looking, obviously, at the game at Foxborough. I mean, Tom Brady's tweet, man, his Instagram post, right? It's like when your high school friends meet your college friends. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, Tom's not backing down from this. So he does not care for how that ended in New England. Are you surprised by that level of pettiness, which I'm all in favor of?
No, not at all, especially after he's throwing the Lombardi Trophy around the Hillsborough River.
Right.
He's gonna rub salt in the wounds up in Boston, trust me. But I'll tell you what, Gus, the NFL did the Buccaneers no favors with this schedule. I was on a show the other day, and someone said, well, do you expect the Buccaneers to go 20-0? And I almost peed myself laughing. I mean, 20-0, they're going to have trouble winning 12 games with this schedule because, Gus, as we've seen in the past, this team has trouble when it plays in prime time. They got crushed by New Orleans. They got beat by the Rams. They got beat in a 4 o'clock game by Kansas City. The Bears beat them in Chicago. So, yeah, their first 7 games, Gus, they have won 1 o'clock game. They got the bye week at 8, so they're going to have to play 9 straight. This is going to be a tired football team that goes stumbling into the playoffs if they get there. Now, I expect them to get there, but I'll tell you what, everybody says you've got 7 1 o'clock games. There are 10 games, and they could flex them somewhere else. Gus, the craziest one is they're going to play Atlanta here week two.
Yep.
At 4:05. Gus, it's going to be Lightning Central.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Florida in September. You don't play a 4 o'clock game.
Sure you do.
We'll be lucky to get that one done by 10 o'clock, if at all.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm looking up like violin music. I'm just, you know, it's a darn shame. Look, I'll say this. Every year there's teams that you know take a step forward. It's teams that take a step back. We all know this. It's incredibly difficult to repeat. It's incredibly difficult sometimes for Super Bowl champions to even make the playoffs, the following season. They basically just ran it back, right? I mean, the Bucks, for the most part, ran their team sort of back. When you take a look at their draft picks, how many of those guys do you think can make the team?
Oh, I think the top three guys will make it. I think Joe Tryon is definitely in the mix. And I'll tell you what, the tackle from Notre Dame, Robert Hainsley, they're going to put him at center real quick. And I got a chance to ask him today. I said, Robert, simple question. Drive block or pass pro? He said drive block. There's nothing better than moving somebody from point A to point B. I mean, this guy is the Grinch. He is mean. He is nasty. And that's the kind of mentality you want for those guys in the pits. But, Gus, you're right. Past the third-round draft, 4-7 may not even make this club.
Quick take here. We got about 2.5 to 3 minutes here, Leo, and the rest of the NFC South. Schedule-wise, Jordan, round of applause. I love the Atlanta Falcons and their video. They got a great sense of humor. What's interesting is you can't find Julio Jones anywhere in their season hype stuff. They tweeted today. Obviously, I know it's rookie minicamp, but Kyle Pitts had a good day. I mean, they're all behind the Kyle Pitts train, man. Julio who today on Get Up and First Take, they're, you know, what's the best team for Julio Jones to be traded? Is Julio Jones, because everyone's asking if Rodgers will be the quarterback, is Julio Jones going to be a Falcon?
I'll tell you what, if they're not, the Falcons are looking at another 6-7 win season or worse. Well, I mean, what a pairing. If you put Pitts and Julio Jones on the same side, who's covering who? I mean, you got two guys, 6'4", 6'6", right in there, and they're next to each other, and one's a tight end. I'll tell you what, whoever that safety is covering whoever it is it, if Atlanta's trading Julio Jones, they're not even looking for this season. They're looking down the road. And keep in mind, Gus, Arthur Blank's getting up there in age. He may not be interested in down the road. He may be interested in what's happening now.
Teddy Bridgewater saying Matt Rule didn't practice red zone, 2-minute drill. They barely did walkthroughs. Matt Rule said, I'm confident with what we do. Too bad he doesn't feel that way, essentially.
Yeah, and Gus, I think way too much is made out of OTAs and rookie camps and mini camps and all that, because Lovie Smith had a great line. He goes, we don't play underwear football. Let's see what they do when the pads come on. And that's when it gets interesting, because you can see what these guys can do when it's actually mono on mono. And in training camp and in rookie camp and in OTAs, it's just, okay, let's drill work. Let's prepare them for training camp in the fall, so when we get out there, we don't have to go, okay, this is a football.